Welcome to Shedding Light Hunting Stories Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the average Joe and their great hunting stories. I'm your host, Travis Williams. You'll listen to episode 144. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope that you guys are doing well this week. If you're listening to this in real time, it is Christmas week. It is upon us finally, and I don't know where this year has gone. Super excited for this coming week and just being around family, time off work, just all that fun stuff. And I'll tell you what, to me, I hate to use this term, you know, but it is magical. Growing up, it was that way for a time, and then, I don't know, the magic kind of faded. At some point, I don't know exactly when it was, but my brother and I, we convinced our parents to let us open up gifts early. And started just a day early, and then maybe it was like 2 days early. And I think even at one point we were like 3 days early, which was cool. It was fun. Maybe you do that. But I got to say, for me, my experience was it kind of zapped that magic a little bit. At least Christmas morning just wasn't as exciting as what it used to be. And I don't know. By the time I got married, I just kind of, Christmas was cool. It was time around family, but it just wasn't the same as whenever I was a little kid. And of course, things do change. But my wife, she still seemed to have that weird magic. Even though she was an adult, she still loved it. And the worst thing I ever said was, I said, you know how you like Christmas? Deer hunting is the same for me. That did not resonate with her. I just got to tell you, deer hunting and Christmas were not ever supposed to be on the same level. But I tell you what, though, I'm blessed to have the wife that I did. You know, that magic kind of came back. She didn't let me open up presents early. And so I kind of got into that again. And then having kids, just, you know, getting the presents for the kids and watching them as they come into the room, getting around the tree and spending Christmas morning with them, going up and spending time at my in-laws and just enjoying that, it truly is magical. It's something really, really special. And I'm glad that we wait and we do it that way. If you don't, that's cool. I'm not judging. But that was just something neat. And I think it does speak a little bit how some of the best things in life are worth waiting for. I hate waiting. I hate waiting, but I think sometimes whenever we're in that waiting mode, it just makes, whenever we get the present or the gift or whatever it is that we've been waiting on, makes it so much more worth it. And that kind of ties in hand with our guest today. Jeremy Bouguet is back on. Jeremy was on before and did a great job talking about hunting camp and his experiences, and he was wanting to get his very first bow buck. And so that's what we dive into today. And that was a process where he had to wait, and we hear that. We unpack that a little bit. And we talk a little bit about the most important gift that was ever given to mankind. People waited centuries for it. They knew that something was screwed up in the world and that we needed a savior. And everybody expected like a king to come in, triumphal entry kind of deal. But instead, this little baby's born in a barn, in like a stable, just in a mess. And I think that's a really cool thing. We've been waiting with eager expectation, and the most unexpected gift of all time arrived. And that's what Christmas is really all about. That's what the celebration is. So don't miss that. Jeremy and I, we talk about deer hunting, we talk about Christmas, we talk about a little bit of everything, self-filming, you name it, and it is a fun conversation. So I think that you guys are going to enjoy this. Thank you guys for coming back for another episode. I don't have an outro on this one. I just kind of end things with Jeremy, and we wrap it up that way. So I want to say Merry Christmas to you and your family, and God bless. And here we go. Here's Jeremy Bouguet. All right, guys, joining me on the line is Jeremy Bouguet from Michigan. Jeremy, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are we doing, Travis?
All just enjoying another day. It's a little chilly here in Ohio. I don't know if it's as cold as what it is in Michigan, but things are going well. How about you?
It's going good. Going good. Just sitting home, recovering from COVID, and really wanted to reach out to you to kind of just tell the story of my first archery buck. So
nice, man. So how are you doing? How's the COVID experience been for you?
It's been a little rough. I've been cooped up in the house for about a week. A lot of coughing, some serious coughing fits, and it's a lot of back pain. And then I just recently lost my taste and smell.
Oh, man.
Has been a bummer.
Yeah, that really,
I really enjoy eating.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've had, I don't know if it, maybe it was COVID. I didn't get tested, but I've been coughing for like 3 weeks straight now. And I basically just, every time I go to the woods, I have about six or seven, lifesavers. Yeah, right. Cough drops in my pocket.
There you go.
Just because, I mean, I'll get on these fits where I can't stop and it's rough. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to this being done with for sure.
Yeah. Well, you were on episode 98. So repeat guest, glad to have you back on. And that was last year, about December. And we talked about, you know, your Michigan Deer Camp and some of those things. If guys didn't listen to that episode, go ahead and give us a little introduction into who you are, what you do, and some of those things.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up hunting, and I would use that term hunting very loosely. We grew up, my grandpa had 300 acres up north, and we used to basically go up just for deer camp, and hunting for us was throwing out 300 pounds of carrots and sugar beets and then sitting on top of it, you know. Yeah. So there wasn't a whole lot of time invested into seeing where the deer were at or anything like that. So we kind of just grew up just tending bait piles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my grandpa sold that property when I was 17. And ever since then, it was kind of funny. It wasn't until the last 3 years that I've really gotten into hunting, gotten back into hunting, I would say. And I didn't even realize it till this year. I have two daughters. One's 17 and one's 20. And it just now dawned on me this year that my youngest was born 2 days after bow opening day. And my oldest was born 2 days after gun opener. So I have daughters with birthdays right around opening days for bow and gun season. So
Gotcha.
So that kind of limits my opening day weekend sits and stuff like that for birthdays. But it kind of dawned on me, like, why haven't I been so into hunting? And I realized it was the job I was doing. I was managing a plant and everybody in that facility hunted, and which allowed me to never hunt. And I changed jobs a few years ago, and nobody there hunts at all. So
really?
It's kind of nice. I'm the only really one who hunts. So
deal. So what kind of, like you said, 3 years, so what kind of drew you back into it? You know, was it just that job, you had the freedom now to go, or was there just wanting to get out and get the meat? What was kind of like the main factor getting you back into it?
So my whole life, like I grew up around hunting until my grandpa sold that property, but it was always one of those things. My wife and I have been married for 22 years, and she'll tell you, like, every time we drive by a field, it's deer, turkey, deer, I have a one track mind. And so I've always had that passion for it. And then my brother-in-laws both got into hunting, and that kind of drew me back in, someone around me who hunted. So they started going out hunting and started going to deer camp, and then eventually invited me to go up with them to this deer camp. And that really just kind of sparked it right back. So.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that last time, just that excitement of deer camp and kind of, you know, just, you know, renewing the passion, getting back into it. So you hunted with them, and you kind of bring us up to this year and how things kind of played out for you in order to kind of get your first deer with the bow.
Yeah, so really wanted to kind of extend the season, I guess. So I was like, all right, well, let's try this bow hunting. I had a super old bow, an old Hoyt from when I was a kid, and I knew that wasn't going to work. So I went out and bought off of Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. I bought a used bow, and of course went to YouTube on how to tune it and everything like that. And long story short, while I was drawing it back in the house, the bow exploded. I did not dry fire it, but the riser cracked and broke an end table and about killed my wife with the limbs that went flying. But really got into trying to dial in bow hunting. So I have enough of a yard where I can shoot up to 40, possibly even 50 yards if I stand out in the street. So I would shoot every day, get home from work and throw at least 20 to 30 arrows downrange, just try and dial it in and really put a lot of pressure on myself. Over the time I was watching so many YouTube videos that I thought, man, I want to try this. So I made a couple of YouTube videos. And then 2020 hit and COVID comes along. And during here in Michigan, they had a mandatory shutdown. And of course, during that, like, what else are you going to do? You're sitting around with nothing else to do. You start doing DIY projects and thought, well, let's start filming more stuff. So made a bunch of YouTube videos and never really thinking it would take off, and it still hasn't, but I have a lot of fun doing it. I've always been a DIYer, yeah. So kind of videotaping what I'm already doing was cool anyway. So
I started after you came on the last time. I'm sorry to interrupt. I remember I kind of was like, well, I got to look up this YouTube channel. It was Jeremy Riggin Outdoors on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed a few things, but the main thing that I noticed is that you were tinkering around making camera arms, and that really caught my attention because you were making a very lightweight version, which I ended up picking up from you, and it's been the sole camera arm that I've ran this entire season, and it's been really, really good.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So I was on a hunting forum, and I made a DIY sit drag, and then I made my own climbing sticks, and then naturally I'm like, well, let's try and film it. So there was this guy named Jerry Gross, who now runs Custom Gear Modifications, and he had a camera arm that he'd made, and I talked back and forth with him in the forum and got some ideas and thought, well, let me try this. I have access to some machines at work. So I made one. And then after like the 15th person had asked me like, hey, you selling these things? I thought, well, why don't I sell some of them? And a lot of people liked them. So that kind of took off, and I made a bunch of these things. And that was a lot of pressure that I put on myself. Well, now, like, if I'm making these camera arms, I've got to at least film myself shooting a deer. And, you know, like, just kind of, I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, COVID was going on this entire time. There's a lot of, you know, just unsure, you know, unsureties around in the world and, you know, what's going to happen and everything like that, especially work-wise. I'm here north of Detroit, so everything here is auto-driven. So of course the auto industry is kind of taking a dive, and you know, what's work going to hold for us and stuff like that. So, it was kind of a really stressful year. But in the midst of that, kind of still trying to stay, building these camera arms and then just shooting my bow. And I was like, 2021 is going to be the year I'm getting a deer with my bow, and I missed a couple of deer with my bow. I shot one and couldn't find it, and missed another one, shot over its back, and really just, like I said, continued putting a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah. So, what was kind of going on with those shots, do you think? Was it just kind of the moment and the excitement? I think for me, it's, we can shoot our bows all day long, but you get into those situations, and it's like, there's a lot that you have to process, especially if you're filming your hunts. I know a lot of my decisions looking back where I missed some, it was just too much going on in the moment, and I didn't settle down enough to make a good clean shot. And what was going on with you in those situations?
I know I actually shot a spike and last year, and I'm sure some guys are criticized, but you know what? He got my blood pumping, so I was going to shoot a spike.
Oh yeah.
But he came walking up to within 10 yards, and I thought that I was settled on him, but I shot back, and it was definitely, I would say, probably a liver hit. But it was beginning of November of 2020, and it was super hot out, unusually hot. It was almost 70 degrees that day, and my brother-in-law, we knew that the deer had been moving, so we're like, let's just keep sitting still, because in Michigan, you can have two buck tags, so who knows, something else could be coming along. So we sat a couple hours, and I think that blood had dried up so much that it was hard to track.
Yeah.
And we could not find that deer. Mm. And then the other one that I missed, I actually missed opportunities at three deer, and two of those opportunities I never shot, but because I was so focused on getting the camera on them. Mm. You know, like, oh, I gotta have everything just perfect. Well, you know, like, I've heard this story from a lot of YouTubers, like there's a lot of pressure to get that kill shot. And
oh yeah,
I've kind of tried to change my philosophy, is make the kill first, worry about the video second. And if it works out, it works out.
Yeah. I cannot agree more. We get criticized on our channel. Our buddy Josh last year captured some amazing footage of, I think it's 183 inch buck that he shot last year. And this buck is keyed up. It's grunting. It's making all these noises. And it takes off running past Josh's camera. You can hear Josh shoot. And then he immediately grabs the camera. And you can see this deer run up over the hill. And it crashes. And there's guys that have commented like, well, if you didn't get the shot on camera, why do you even post it? It's like, really? Like, it's, he got everything but the shot. And it's an amazing video. And you can hear Josh's excitement. It's just like, but yeah, it definitely, there's a lot of haters out there that it, and you kind of, I feel the same way. It's like, man, I, that first doe this year, I really wanted to get that on film. And I recorded it. Oh, well, no, I videoed it, but I just didn't hit, yeah. I double tapped that record button or something went wrong and didn't realize till afterwards. I mean, I had it all framed up and everything, but no red light. And unfortunately, in my mind, I know exactly what it looks like. But there is, man, if you film your hunts, there's that pressure. You really, really want to get it. You want to get like great epic footage. And that is just, guys don't realize if you're self-filming, that is so hard to get.
It is. It is. I've been on several forums and groups, and you know, someone will comment like, "Hey, I'm looking into getting into self filming. What are your suggestions?" And my first reply is always, "Don't,
don't."
I mean, and then I'll, you know, caveat that with, "Hey, if you really want to do it, but just realize there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of gear, and then if you start getting into it, it gets super expensive, and you got to really be dedicated to do it and." It definitely has cost me some deer for sure. And I'm sure it will in the future, but.
And I think you got to check your motivation with it. You know what I mean? Like we've been around, Shedding Land Outdoors has been around since 2015. And right now we're, I mean, praise God, we have 2,290 subscribers. I just looked it up. So, but that's been 5 years. There's some people, I mean, that's very little, like whenever you, if you're trying to make a living or whatever off of YouTube, I just got to tell you, it's hard. You can have some great videos, but there's a lot of great videos. Seems like everybody films now. So it's, you got to enjoy it. And that's the thing for me is like, even though it is challenging, I really love to film. Like it gives me something extra to kind of do and those sorts of things. But yeah, it's definitely adds that pressure element like you're talking about.
Yeah. Like I know you had Zach Owsley on a while back. And I've talked to Zach a bunch and he's actually starting to switch even to just using a cell phone.
Yep.
You know, try using a cell phone. I mean, instead of lugging around these big cameras and stuff, like he videotaped one with a cell phone, he said. But anyway, yeah, we've put so much pressure on it. And I do think a lot of people don't realize how much work it actually is just to film.
Yeah.
Especially getting like the second camera angle. I know you have like, you were like hanging your cell phone because the batteries were dead on your camera. And
yeah, that was silly. But I, yep, I did.
Like I have not had any luck. I swear the GoPro dies on me every time.
Oh,
I don't know.
They're very unreliable, especially if you buy like an older version off of eBay, like, or right now, especially like if they get cold, man, they die very, very quickly. I relate to that. Yeah. So it's been a work in progress for us. Like I used to have a point and shoot camera and now I have a, sorry, I'm going deep down in this filming rabbit hole, but I got a Canon G30 and it's a really nice, shoots great video, but it's a heavy, it's like a brick, you know? And then the monitor, I cracked it, dropped it out of the tree one time. So now I have a monitor that I pack with it. So it has extra batteries. So it's a lot to kind of pack into the woods. Like I'm trying to go in light, wearing a saddle, taking your camera arm so I can be as light as possible. But I had my wife pick up my backpack the other day. She's like, "You are out of your mind to like haul this stuff in and out of the woods as far as I go every time." I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a lot of commitment if you want to get into that. But it is cool. Yeah. I will say this. I love going on my YouTube channel and looking back and trying to remember some of the hunts. And it's fun to see the filming and also see how we've progressed. We've gotten a little bit better in our editing, a little bit better in our B-roll. And so it's, you know, it is fun, but it is definitely a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a lot of work. So, So, but you know, 2021, I was bound and determined. This is going to be the year, you know, like I'm going to get a deer this year with my bow. And I didn't care whether it was a buck or a doe even, but, just wanted to get that first deer, with a bow. I've shot, I think, 10 deer in my life. And all of them have been with a rifle. So definitely was looking to use the bow this year. So ended up, I've made enough of the camera arms where I banked a little bit of money and decided I was going to buy a new bow. And so I bought a fairly expensive flagship bow and just poured a ton of time into shooting, even more than ever. Did a couple of 3D courses, which is super cool.
Yeah.
But again, every day, 30 to 40 arrows downrange. And I swear, it's the, like, the more I learn about archery, the dumber I get. I don't know if I'm the only one, and I feel like I'll learn something like, oh man, my grip is a little off and I should fix this. And then my whole shot routine gets into a mess, and then I can't hit the broadside of a barn again. And then I learned this new thing, and like, it's like, I'm always blown away at how much there is to learn about the archery end of it as well. So I put a ton of pressure on myself to get consistent with my bow. Like I said, practicing every day. And then I listened to your podcast, and you were talking about how you'd send out those letters.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I'm doing that. So I got an Onyx, and I start scouring all the fields that I drive by and think that I see deer. And I sent out about 65 letters.
Oh man. Cool. How did that go?
Yeah, that was a big flop.
Oh man. Really?
Yeah. So in my mind, I was like, man, if I send out 65 letters, I figure, you know, like, I should get at least one or two yeses.
Yeah.
I got 5 responses. All of them were no's. Now, they were all nice no's.
Yeah.
One of them was even a family member. And I'll say it's a distant family member, but a family member who should at least recognize my last name, and gave me a definite hard no.
Oh man.
And so I was really bummed. I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to hunt private land. So there is only a couple of state land areas that are close to me, and they are super overpressured. Over the last 2 years, I spent probably 100 hours in the stand on those pieces of state land and never once saw a single deer.
Oh man. That's kind of discouraging going into 2021 then.
Yeah. So really, like I said, I've put so much pressure to the point of, you know, almost anxiety on myself. And my brother-in-laws don't help me any. They, you know, they're good brother-in-laws, and we just razz each other endlessly. So every time one of us misses a deer, the other two are going to make sure the other guy knows about it, you know? So constantly being harassed by my brother-in-laws, as I should be. I'm not saying I shouldn't. So 2021 opening day, and it's October 1st. It was 75 degrees, so super warm, not really weather that you would think you'd want to be hunting in. And my brother-in-law has some state land by his house over on the west side of the state of Michigan. And we'd gone over there, and he has several cameras up that have several 8-point bucks on them. And one of them is in this swamp that's a really deep walk through some deep water to get to. And he knows I'm just itching to get a big buck, but really just, he knows anything, but at the same time, I do get a little antler crazy for sure. So I make the deep walk into the swamp in the morning, and shortly after I get there, I hear what could only be a deer just bulldozing through the swamp. Booking it. I thought it was a person, but it was too dark for them to even be walking without a flashlight as fast as they were. So I knew it had to have been a deer, and it bedded down, I'm guessing it's 60 to 70 yards away from me. And it's still pitch black. I mean, we were there an hour and a half, I think, before legal shoot. So I'm all excited because I know there's an 8-point close. There's a scrape not too far from the tree stand, and I think he's bedded real close. So I sit there patiently all morning, and I think it was about 8:30, quarter to nine, I can hear this deer get up and start walking. And my adrenaline's just pumping out of my mind. And all of a sudden I can see this deer walking, And there it is. It was a spike. And I tell you what, he got me excited, and my adrenaline was flowing, and I've got him in my crosshairs, and I'm just trying to talk myself through, as I've done several times, like, breathe, settle your pin, get your anchor point set. And I proceed to launch an arrow clean over his back.
Oh, man.
And I can just, in my head, I can just hear my brother-in-law's laughing at me, you know, when I have to tell the story. And that deer, I can see the knock glowing, and he hopped off 30, 40 yards, and he started walking, and he walks right into another shooting lane. So I got another arrow, and I draw on him, and my blood's pumping even more, and I shoot right over his back again.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I just can't believe this. Like, I was ready to give up. I like had like almost like an anxiety attack. I'm like, this, I'm done hunting. I'm ready to hang the bow up. I've had two chip shots at this deer at probably within 20, 30 yards. And on paper, it's like one of those things on paper, I'm golden at 30 yards. But in reality, man, I don't know what it was. I just could not hit that thing. And I was really just devastated. So sit the rest of the morning. We all get down, head back into the house, and I have to tell my embarrassing story. And my brother-in-laws, of course, do the brother-in-law thing, and they razz me, as I should be. I missed two deer. I go out in the backyard, and I shoot a bunch of arrows, and I mean, I'm just right on the money. I mean, right where I should be. So I'm like, how am I missing this deer? So I'm super frustrated at myself, and my brother-in-law, Jeff, even though he'll razz me, is very gracious. And he's like, listen, that deer wasn't your deer. Wasn't the deer God had lined up for you, you know? And it was nice to just kind of hear like, hey, just let it roll off your back. We've all missed deer. Just go out there and keep at it. So that night, we end up going out. And it ended up being 82 degrees that night, which is the hottest I've ever hunted in, especially here in Michigan in October. That is not normal weather for us. So super quiet. Air was barely moving at all. And I'm sitting up in a different spot. I've got my camera arm all out. I'm ready to go. Filmed a little bit of B-roll type stuff, and end up kind of glancing over. And all of a sudden, I see just part of an antler walking my way. So I immediately grab the camera, I hit record, I fling the camera over to this bush that I think he's going to come walking out of. And in my mind, I've told myself, like, forget about the camera. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about seeing if it's in focus or if the deer's in frame. Just concentrate on making a clean shot. Take your breaths, everything like that. And I don't know, I've watched a lot of videos of people, and they usually give that deer, you know, the meh to stop it. And I debated, I'm like, should I stop this deer or should I let it keep walking? And I decided I didn't want to basically alert the deer. So I kind of waited. He was eating on some leaves of this tree as he was walking by. And I'd already ranged exactly where he was at. He was at 32 yards. I let the arrow go. And it hits a little back, definitely caught lung and a little bit of liver. But that deer, and I think because it wasn't pre-alerted, that shot startled it, but he just jumped about 30 yards and just kind of stood out in the middle of this field and tried to figure out what in the world had just happened. And I'm standing there in my tree stand just looking at him, almost like in slow motion, like it finally dawns me, hey, dummy, grab another arrow. This deer is standing in front of you. So I grab another arrow, and just as I'm drawing back, he looks straight up at me. And as soon as I pull the trigger, he lurches, and it ended up drilling him in the spine. And he let out this big old meh and just keeled over and was dead within 5 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So it was super cool. You know, it's one of those deer where I didn't have to track it. But it was finally like this redeeming moment of all the pressure. And I literally had, I would guess a panic attack, an anxiety attack in the tree. And I tell you one thing I will say is I'm glad a few years ago I listened to a podcast about a guy who fell out of the tree stand. And I try not to hunt either unless I'm wearing my saddle or whether I'm wearing a harness. And I tell you what, I was glad I was wearing a harness that day because I was lightheaded, couldn't even stand up. And I think all those emotions had just kind of overcome me and the excitement that I actually shot this deer and that it was down. So
it kind of seemed like it seems like sometimes we can make these goals or whatever, but it just almost seems like the impossible dream because you've had so many things not go right that it's like, could this actually happen to you? And then when it happens, it's hard to believe that it's actually worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Like I was just in awe. I called my brother-in-law. He came driving over to help me drag him out and gut him and everything. I called my wife and just kind of told him, like, listen, I'm having this panic attack, just so you know, like I'm harnessed in, like, but I shot this buck and it was super cool. It was a 6-pointer. And super cool just how it all ended up on opening day. And the next morning continued hunting. My other brother-in-law had shot a really nice doe that next morning. But it was really cool. Just kind of the story of redemption for me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of work, a lot of time went into that, a lot of lessons. So what do you think that hunt like kind of taught you as far as just kind of managing the pressure, redemption, like you just said? What are your takeaways from that hunt, Jeremy?
So I know, and I'm sure you can be in the same boat, a lot of other people go on Instagram and Facebook, and everyone around you has shot 150-inch buck, and they're tagged out for the year, and you haven't seen anything. And just there's so much pressure that I think we, even as adults and kids, face that social media puts pressure on us and just the world around us. There's so much pressure to perform and meet up to someone else's goals and standards.
Yeah.
And I think we get just so wrapped up in that, and it can be just so stressful and cause anxiety. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, that was something you didn't hear about. You didn't hear about anxiety and mental fatigue and stuff like that. But I think it's something that this new generation is facing. And I think ultimately we all fall short. You know, we are created, God's given us a purpose in life. And I think we all have these holes that I think only God can fill.
Yep.
And the cool part of this, like I talked about, it was kind of this deer was redemption for me. And the cool part is we're coming up on Christmas. And I know this podcast is like the perfect platform to bring this up is, Christmas time is not the story of gifts. It's not the story of what am I getting out of it, but it is truly the story of redemption. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, onto the earth to redeem us because we could never achieve perfection. And that's the only way we're getting to heaven is perfection. And so God sent the perfect story of redemption in Jesus Christ. That's kind of how I've seen this year for me. I will never meet up to these goals that society or even myself has set for me. I'll never be able to meet that on my own. So that's kind of how I feel that this season has turned out for me.
That's really good. Yeah, that's good thoughts. I want to talk about a little bit of that and kind of unpack it some more. I think about, first off, I'll just talk about the pressure. I've talked about that, I think, a few episodes ago. You know, you kind of get into that mode of the season where I totally identify with what you're talking about. It seems like a lot of your buddies, all of social media, everybody's got a deer down or everybody's got, you know, an elk down or whatever it is you're chasing. And it just, I don't know, it just eats at you. And we create this pressure for ourselves. And we think, if I just have that, then, you know, I'll be happier, then I'll be fulfilled. And I have to say, I've talked to people who've shot those deer. I've shot a couple of nice bucks. And it's just like, after you shoot one, what do you want to do? You just want to keep shooting. You want to shoot it. You want to do it again. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, it's fulfilling. You're excited. You're proud to put it on the wall, but it's still, it's not what we were created for. Like you said, it's just one of those things that God gave us that we can enjoy. And I'm thankful for it. But there's so much more than that. So I don't know. I think I want to say this to anybody that's listening, that if you haven't got a buck yet and you're like me, still out there chasing them or whatever, I think we got to remind ourselves of that. Remind ourselves that our worth isn't based off of antlers on the wall. You know, if it is, then I'm in trouble. And even, you know, I think it's so much more. And then you get into this Christmas season, and that's a really good reminder that you mentioned there. I think we can get so focused. It's kind of a matter of focus too. You know, our focus is on the wrong thing. Our focus should be on God sending the Son into the world. And we can get so focused on the gifts and the Christmas party. Like, we've got like a Christmas party every night this week. And it's fun stuff, but I tell you, just getting down to the core, like, you think about a God sending the Son into the world, and he comes to like a stinking manger, you know, in a nasty place. I don't know, just something pretty cool about that story that we need to reflect on.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, so it's not about the antlers on the wall. And yeah, we'd all love to have Travis Shire's antlers on the wall, right? we can't all hunt like that. So what was really cool this year for me too, at deer camp, I think after I shot this deer early bow season, I had no pressure. I had totally let go of all that pressure. And we had one of the biggest deer I've ever seen on trail camera. I missed him by about an hour and a half getting into the stand this year at gun season. But I felt like I didn't have any pressure. And I don't know if it's because I already had a deer, but I think I'd really kind of in my mind, I just let go of that pressure and really just enjoyed spending the time with my brother-in-laws and our other buddies that were up there. We had probably my most memorable year hunting, and I didn't even get a deer at gun season. Yeah. And it was just super cool. I have a YouTube video of our season, and it was kind of funny. My brother-in-law shot a 7-pointer opening morning, and on the way home, my truck blew a tire, and we just had a riot struggling to put a tire on, which we shouldn't. We're all super mechanically minded, but we struggled getting a tire on this truck. And then once we did, the spare tire was flat. Ended up having to get 4 new tires right in the middle of deer camp. And then probably the coolest memory is we had found a picture of our grandpa from what we're guessing to be about 60 years ago, of him with a couple other buddies gutting a deer. So we took that photo and we set up the tripod and we ended up recreating that photo. And we kind of did a side-by-side of that old photo and then our photo. And that's, we're cool, giving that out as Christmas gifts this year. So
that's awesome. That's really cool.
Super cool. Like I said, and I feel that making those memories and spending those important time with your family is more important to me and was way more fun than the antlers that I have on the wall.
Oh yeah. I tell you, I look back, I've hunted a lot this year, you know, not as much as last year, but still a decent amount, and blessed to be able to go out a good bit. But I look back on all the hunts, and I got to say that if I had to pick the top two, one of them, I got something, the other one I didn't. The doe that I got with my daughter and foster daughter in my front yard, that was just really cool experience. I mean, it was stressful and there was parts that were hard, but getting that first deer with them and watching their reaction, that was just incredible. I mean, it was just a doe, but it wasn't just a doe, you know, it's just really neat. And then hunting with Travis Shire and Bobby, being in the same tree as Trav, Bobby back there filming, we're texting Bobby because he was just a little bit out of earshot as far as being away from us. And then that buck coming in and just it almost happening, you know, it was so close and it was a nice buck and just, I mean, I wasn't expecting it at all. I mean, it's just something about, I look back and I've had a lot of great solo hunts and had some great encounters, but whenever it comes down to it, I'm realizing what I enjoy the most is just being around other people and just sharing the experience with them. Like, I think that to me trumps shooting a buck over 150. I don't know. I've never shot a buck over 150. I hope I do it one day and then I can compare side by side, but it's just something about being with people and enjoying that. So I think that's a pretty special thing. And I think kind of relating it back to the Christmas thing, it's, you know, we have all these parties and all these things and it can become stressful, but what I try and do at these parties is just enjoy time with the people there. It's just something special about this time of year, being around family, being around friends, and having that extra time. We've seen my wife's in-laws like 4 weekends in a row, and that's really cool. Our kids love it, and it's just something about our relationships that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, that's cool, man. So how's the rest of the season going? So you got into deer camp. Any other encounters? Are you done? Or are you kind of waiting for next year? What's the game plan here up?
So I was hoping, I actually just recently was able to get access to some private land. It's only about 7 acres and it's a horse farm. But this lady is going to let me hunt it, hopefully over Christmas break here. And so I have till January 1st. So I may get a few more hunts in, but with getting over COVID, I don't know how long I'll be able to sit out in the tree stand with as cold as it is. So I'm trying to keep my expectations low, but we'll see. I may try and get out a few more times.
Awesome, man. Well, I would encourage guys to go over and I want to plug your YouTube channel for you real quick. Go check out j.r.outdoors, so JR Outdoors. And you can see Jeremy's camera arms, things that he's doing. Also, I did film this Michigan public land archery buck down. So encourage you guys to go check that out, man. So keep the YouTube channel going.
Well, I appreciate it.
So, well, Jeremy, it was good catching up with you again, man. I mean, you and I talk here and there, camera arms and gear and stuff like that back and forth. So it's cool to kind of hear the story and hear how things are going for you.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on. I love the podcast. It is one of my go-tos that I recommend for sure.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Well, I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. And I want to wish our guests or our listeners a Merry Christmas as well. Thank you all for tuning in. And until next week, remember to shed the light.